the story of yesterday, at least, certainly we'll get to the Bills with Mark, was the decision by the Dallas Cowboys to run that draw play by the quarterback, Dak Prescott, that resulted in the clock running out before they had the chance to spike the ball. A play that will be debated for a long time. Maybe there really is no debate. I don't know. Maybe it's something that's just obvious. It was just a poor decision by Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy. And let's bring him in. It is Mark Dominic, our Monday morning NFL analyst here on First Up. Good morning, Mark. When you saw the play call, the Dak QB draw, what was your reaction and everything that ensued from there?
Yeah, you know, I think I was with the rest of the country, depending on who you liked. But my son and I were watching the game, and I'm like, what did they just do? And understanding that they thought this, they thought that, but with that little bit of time left, it's just too risky. It doesn't make any sense. And, you know, Kellen Moore has been a hot spot for coordinators and interviews and, you know, the young guy that everybody wants. I got to think he has a lot to do with that decision. I think Brian Daboll got more excited by that call than anybody else.
Right, exactly. Mark, help me understand. When us, the viewers, are watching that play happen, and you're talking about the Dallas Cowboys, owned by Jerry Jones, who has this incredible expectation of his team year after year. Can a play call like that be declared as a fireable offense?
Yes and no. I mean, depending on where you are in your season. It's the same thing, Carlo, as you know, with, you know, when you have a great player on your team, you put up with a little bit more, and then you sit there and say it's okay. Coach Mike has done a really good job, obviously, with that football team in terms of what they were able to accomplish during the regular season. I don't think he wants to try to go back out there and do this again. And I think if he did, he'd be hiring within, because that's where everybody's going to leave from. At least I think Dan Quinn's got a good chance of getting one of these open jobs as well. So I think it's too much drama for him to try to make that change, even though I know that Jerry Jones understands where he is in his life, and he wants a shot at one more ring, and it just slipped away from him yesterday, which is sad because this Dallas team's good enough to go further than that.
Our guest is Mark Dominic, the former general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Mark, so you're in the Dallas Cowboys organization. You're kind of reevaluating everything that transpired, not only yesterday, but throughout the course of the regular season. What changes, what determinations are you making about your organization if you're Jerry Jones and on the front office there after everything you saw yesterday, but also for the entirety of the regular season as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think Pollard's an explosive running back, and I think you can move on from Zeke Elliott. I think that's the one thing I'm looking at, saying, if I can get anything for him, do I push him off the football team, go with Pollard, and reinvest funds, not only in 2022, but 2023, in different situations, because I just don't feel like he's as explosive. He's still a good player, but to me, there's a little bit of a different change of pace with Pollard in there, and he runs so hard and physical. So that's one area I'm looking at, is how do I shave a little bit of cash off this football team, but also keep it where I've got some more depth, especially on that offensive line, because I can't afford where I'm at a tackle to be exposed, especially with the age of my offensive line now starting to get up there. So I think I'm focused on the offensive side still. I'd like to keep a couple guys that are on the defensive backfield. I think Leighton Vander Esch probably walks, as one of the free agents. I look there to fix that more with the draft, like I've been able to do over the last couple of years on the defensive side. So I think it's the middle linebacker spot. I think you've got enough safeties where you're going to be comfortable being able to keep some of those guys. And then I think you look at that running back and tackle spot.
You think there? I got the Zeke thing is interesting. He's a big ticket, and he did not look good this year. I know he was playing with a torn PCL, but you think there would be teams out there that would be willing to take that contract and
I don't
the player?
Know. You know, I really worry they will. I mean, you look when he runs; he's got that huge knee brace on his knee, which is just hard to watch a running back with a knee brace like that. And so it's kind of a different feel. So more than likely, no. There's an outside chance that somebody could, but you just keep that available. And then you look at the ramifications in terms of cutting Zeke or being able to get a seventh. You're probably going to have to find a team that feels like, you know, they're a player or two away. And, you know, I don't think that's Buffalo, but let's hypothetically say it's a Buffalo type of team. Mm-hmm. I could see maybe them say, can we squeeze it in? Does it make sense? Is it an overall good fit to at least give the perception and the ability to run the ball with a bigger back?
Yeah, Mark, we'll get to Buffalo in just a moment. But San Fran, I mean, they don't need a running back. They bring in Elijah Mitchell. I think he was undrafted, and he was really good. Debo Samuel, they bring in as a wide receiver. He becomes one of the most explosive weapons in the NFL. What chance do you give San Fran of going into Green Bay next week and taking out the Packers?
You know, they've got an opportunity. They've got the quarterback. See, I love this about San Francisco. They trade everything away, basically tell Jimmy Garoppolo, you're trash, and turn around and be like, thanks for bringing us back to the playoffs, and now we've got a chance to go to the AFC or the NFC championship.
He almost cost it for them, though, Mark. He almost cost it for them.
Oh, he did. No, I agree. The turnover was egregious at the end of the game there. That was an unbelievable throw, and just he put himself in that situation. But I'll say this. Kansas is not taking this team to the postseason next year, I don't think, based off of what you saw in the regular season. I know it's a very small clip, but this team has a real huge issue with the quarterback spot and their overall confidence. But going into the Packers, I just don't think so. I think Green Bay has been firing in all cylinders, scores way too many points. And I think it's too hard for the 49ers to score that many points in a football game where, I think the Packers playing at home are going to be ready to roll.
Mark, Saturday nights are always special nights, and for me, it was probably the most glorious game I've seen in a long time. It was one of the best sleeps I've had in a long time, watching the Buffalo Bills just absolutely obliterate the New England Patriots. One, what did you make of the game? And two, how surprised were you of the outcome?
Well, I'd say this. We were on here last week, and I made the bold prediction of trying to pick an upset, and I was wrong. I picked the Tampa Bay Buccaneers-Eagles game. But I did say when we talked about the Bills, I thought this was going to be a blowout. I thought they could win by at least two touchdowns.
You did.
And so, based off the last time those two teams played, no one could stop Buffalo. The Patriots have no answer for that offense. And obviously, on Saturday night, they had no answer for anything. It was a completely dominated game, and it was a lot of fun to watch. And this Buffalo-Kansas City game is just going to be spectacular. Because to me, as much as I like, I live here in Nashville, I appreciate the Titans and love what the Bengals have done. To me, Buffalo-Kansas City is like the AFC Championship game. I mean, it's as good as it gets. It
should be the Super Bowl.
And both teams are playing well. Or Super Bowl, that's fair.
Right. Mark, I sort of made a proclamation early on in the show, and I want to know how you feel about it, just because you're looking at the stats. Over the last two games, Josh Allen has just dominated anything Bill Belichick has tried to throw at him and tried to stop him with. 55-72, 622 yards passing, 130 rushing yards, and 8 touchdowns, combined with 80 points scored against the Bill Belichick top 5 defense. Has Josh Allen become Bill Belichick's kryptonite?
There you go. I love it. Yeah, I think so. I think he has. I mean, we kind of talked about that a little bit last week in terms of what Josh Allen's been able to do with his speech as much as what he's been able to do with his arm. And that, to me, has been the huge difference in Allen's game. And, yes, he has dominated the Patriots. And when Josh Allen's on and that team can protect him a little bit, he can dominate anybody. And that's why that KC matchup is going to be just fantastic. And this is why I said, with the Kellen Moore call, that Brian Daboll was very happy about it, because Brian's been a big architect behind all of these positions and helping Josh become the player he's been. And I think you're going to see Brian Daboll continue to get more interviews and possibly end up with one of these jobs.
The Chiefs, 2.5-point favorites hosting the Bills next Sunday night, and over under of 54.5 points. So clearly Vegas expecting a lot of offensive fireworks between Buffalo and Kansas City. Mark, I want to circle back on New England. If you had to identify one area where the Pats need to upgrade in the offseason, what would it be?
Speed. They just don't feel fast on defense. They might be strong and physical, but they're just not fast anymore. And I think that's a big part of what's wrong with their football team and why they can't handle Buffalo. So I think they got to reset themselves in terms of how do we become a faster football team, especially on the back seven, to be able to cover more ground, to be able to be better athletes, to be able to handle whether it's the Stephon Diggs's, the Dawson Knox. But you've got to come up with a plan of what are we going to do to stop this Buffalo offense, because that's your division rival. They've got to become a faster football team, and right now they're not.
Yeah, and they got to find a way to stop Josh Allen, who's going to probably lead the way in that division for many years to come. But Mark, if you had to look at both teams in their matchup, the Bills versus the Chiefs, the Bills obviously dominated against a top five defense. I think the Chiefs did exactly what most people expected them to do against the Pittsburgh Steelers team that did not even deserve to be in the playoffs. How would you handicap this matchup? Because if you go back to last season, the AFC Championship game, the Bills were riding a high. They go into KC, and the Bills just couldn't live up to the moment. They learned their they say they learned their lesson in the offseason. They went out and improved their pass rush. Do you think the Bills are better suited to beat and compete against the KC team at Arrowhead at home? And considering this is the second game of the season that they're playing right now, where the Bills already went into Arrowhead this year and steamrolled the Chiefs, how do you handicap this matchup?
Yeah, you know, you follow the money, right? You look at Vegas, and Vegas says Chiefs by 2.5, which means Vegas thinks Buffalo has a good chance of winning this game as well when you automatically get 3 points for being home field. So that's an interesting part. I think the biggest thing about the Kansas City-Buffalo matchup is that Kansas City's offensive line has been transformed into a very, very good unit overnight from a year ago to now. And I think that's been their strength of their season, is that they've been able to not only play well, but, you know, stay healthy. You know, they got two kids out of the draft in Humphreys and Smith in the second, I think, sixth round that have been playing at center and right guard. They obviously went out and got Joe Thuney from the Patriots, who's been a stalwart at the left guard spot. They get Orlando Brown. It's just a really good offensive line, and it's beautiful. It's exactly what Buffalo tried to work on this year, is we're going to get these pass rushers in the draft and become a better rushing team. And the Chiefs are like, we can't let that happen again in the offensive line. So this game's about the trenches. It's about comfort for Patrick Mahomes, and how can you spy that? And then how do you deploy two guys on Tyreek Hill and still be able to respect Kelce? So I think the matchup is very fascinating, but I have been a juggernaut of your Bills. It's not the way you have, but I certainly said that I think this Buffalo team is striding at the right spot. They sure did last week. I think they can do it again against Kansas City.
Mark, with nice. The Philadelphia Eagles knocked out of the playoffs, the question goes to what they do at quarterback. Jalen Hurts had an up-and-down season, down certainly against Tampa in their playoff game yesterday. Howie Roseman, the GM, they have three first-round picks in the upcoming draft. If you were running the Eagles, would you use that draft capital to make a move for another quarterback, or would you keep it and roll back with Hurts next season?
I think I would not use it in the draft. I think I look around the National Football League and understand the different situations, different dynamics with certain quarterbacks, and how to pull them from organizations, whether that's Deshaun Watson, maybe Aaron Rodgers, something to give your chance, your team and your football organization a chance to win. Look, Jalen has performed very well at times last year. He certainly played very poorly against Tampa Bay, missed so many throws. It was uncomfortable, and Philadelphia beat them. So, I mean, they had so many bad timing penalties, and that's what happens in the postseason. We don't have a lot of experience. You start making mistakes. So I look and say, if I end up with Jalen, we'll go for it, but I do not want to sit on my hands while I see a possible Deshaun Watson move, an Aaron Rodgers move, really talk to my team about the Jimmy Garoppolos or the Russell Wilsons and what do they bring. I got to explore it, because that's why I have all the collateral, to make sure I get the most important position correct.
Mark, the last matchup we haven't talked about yet was the game that started the weekend off. It was Cincinnati and Oakland, and it was mired by controversy late in the first half with an inadvertent whistle blowing with Burrow stepping out of bounds that obviously, you know, it ended up resulting in a touchdown. And I think rightfully so. The referees made a mistake, but the NFL also made the decision not to allow that officiating crew to ref the rest of the playoffs. And in a surprise move, but you kind of agree with the NFL right now taking accountability that their reffing hasn't been up to standard?
Yeah, I think they have to do something about integrity, right? We've seen that be a big part of what Roger Goodell says he's about. And I think when you said that that game wasn't on par with where it should be in terms of these officials, then it makes sense to me that you move a different crew around to make sure you've got the best on the field so you don't have a Rams-Saints situation. Or at least hopefully don't have that kind of a situation again. So I agree with it. I think there needs to even be more accountability on officiating.
Agreed.
And I think that there needs to be a lot more turnover than we see. And I know it's hard to become an NFL official. I realize it's a grueling grind, but they should have their own farm system brewing, and there should be an X amount of expectations just there are with players, with coaches, front office. And if you continue to perform at a certain level, just because you've been there for a long time doesn't mean you get to stay. And I think that's the way they need to start looking at it even more.
Mark, the Bengals are not really off another win. They've been dialed in offensively down the stretch. The Burrow to Jamar Chase duo was awesome again over the course of the weekend. And when you think about their matchup heading to Nashville, where you reside, playing the Titans, But some injury concerns on the D-line for Cincy. They lost two of their four D-linemen in that game. Probably not a good recipe when Derrick Henry is coming chugging towards you in his return from that foot injury. Number one, what are you hearing on Derrick Henry's return, and how big of an impact will those defensive losses have for Cincinnati this weekend?
Yeah, they've played the Derrick Henry here pretty close to the vest with hope and expectations, but not a lot of knowledge. And I think they're doing that on purpose because they don't want to get the team or, you know, the opponent, you know, worked up. Let's say you're a Titans member. You're like, yeah, we're going to get Derrick Henry back. And then he just can't play. And you're like, oh. And then you walk in the game. You're like, you got that little bit of deflate. And you're a little frustrated. But you're still going to go and battle the way you can. Vice versa. You've got the Bengals sitting there going, you know, we may be getting Derrick Henry. We're not sure. And then Derrick Henry walks on the field. And you're like, oh, there he is, the man. And so I think they're playing it pretty tight. I think we'll learn a lot more by Wednesday once we get out on the football field and they have to, you know, start announcing who's participating and what percentage. That'll give us a better sense. But I think the Bengals are not the team that the Tennessee Titans want to see because of their, you know, ability to throw the football so effectively. And that, to me, you know, the Titans have worked on that secondary over the last couple of years with draft picks, but I don't think it's really paid off the way it should or could, especially at corner. I think Kevin Byard had a really good year at safety and got himself back in position. But I think those throws, those pitching catches with Higgins and certainly with Chase, I think they're going to have a lot of success there. It's going to make it a much better game than I think people may think from Tennessee, where they think that this is going to be good. We got the Bengals. I don't think it's that great of a matchup for Titans.
Well, the two matchups that we have in the AFC will be quite entertaining. But, Mark, to cap off the super-duper wild-card weekend – in the NFL, it's a Monday night game. First time in NFL history that a playoff game will be held on Monday night. It is the Rams hosting the Cardinals. We talked about it earlier in the show how much pressure a guy like Matthew Stafford is facing as the quarterback of the Rams because he's the guy they traded for. You know, he's got all the pressure because of the all-in approach that the Rams have taken. How do you handicap this matchup tonight? I know you're a big Rams guy. You've always told us about how much you love the Rams. Do you still feel the same way tonight against the Cardinals?
Yeah, you know, I do. You know, as the game gets closer, you know, you feel like the one team has everything to lose and one team has everything to gain, and that's exactly the way you just put it. The Rams feel like, this is a game where they have everything to lose because if they don't get it done, then this whole offseason, Von Miller, all the moves that they've made over the years just feels like, ugh, what, you know, we still can't get over the hump. Where in Arizona, you know, you've got all this, you know, upside hope, and J.J. Watt may, you know, get a chance to be on the football field again. We'll see how much he can play and perform, and you're like, all those things are coming the right way. But I still, the Rams pass rush is going to be too dominant for Kyler Murray. Unless Kyler goes out and runs for over 100 yards on the ground, I just think that the Rams are too strong up front to be able to be beaten, and that's why I think that the Rams will still win tonight.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with Kyler, right? I mean, they haven't been running him nearly as much as they have years, probably in part due to their intention to keep him as healthy as possible to prepare for a game like tonight. Because, listen, if I'm Kingsbury, I have a ton of design runs in there because Kyler Murray is as fast as any quarterback. And, listen, he's going to take some hits, but I don't know. Without DeAndre Hopkins, this team has not been the same offensively. And, listen, Christian Kirk and Rondell Moore, we know the running backs they have. But Kyler, I think, and let me know if you agree, Mark, I think he's got to be the guy to carry this offense tonight. And I think his legs will be a big part of that.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And I think Rondell Moore could be a bigger part of the offense than normal just because, again, explosive, strong, powerful, younger, smaller player who, you know, you just want to get the ball in his hands and see what he can do in space, because that's his ability. So I think that you'll see some quick throws to him as well to see if they can break something free. But I see it the same way. Kyler Murray's got to win this thing, not only just through the air, but I think he's got to win it on the ground for the Rams to lose this game.
Oh, I can't wait. It should be a lot of fun. This weekend was a lot of fun. We got a game tonight. Yeah. Oh, man, I can't get enough of the NFL. And
love the truly, NFL.
I cannot wait. It's a big snowstorm here today, Mark, so I'm just going to be staring at my clock, just waiting for the time to tick until 8 p.m. tonight for kickoff between the Cardinals and the Rams. Thank you for doing this, my man. We will speak to you again on Monday, recapping the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Thanks, man.
I appreciate you guys having me on. Enjoy this week, man.
All right.
You got it, Mark.
We will. Mark Dominic, our Monday morning NFL analyst, the former general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.